Visioneers, Episode 8, The Chapter Closes.
Des, I feel a little suspended in time at this point. Luis Valdez has made his incredible television broadcast and been shot because of it. Esther has been rescued from her captors. Joshua Roth has been laid to rest with the anger and deep grieving of his senseless slaying still thick in the air. Mark and Esther are giving themselves to the first bright glow of love. All this tragedy and wretchedness is set beside the faint glimmerings of hope. Des, you call this piece The Chapter Closes. What is closing?
Well, at this moment, Mark sees himself faced with both an obligation and an opportunity. He has an obligation to honor the sacrifice of Luis Valdez. That's the piece that's closing. But he has an opportunity to use that occasion to further the work that Luis died for. And this piece of the story is about how that was accomplished.
Well, that sounds like an opening. So where does it start?
Well, it begins by sowing the seeds of the action that will actually come after this part is over. We're reminded, first of all, of the larger force that was behind the slaying of Luis Valdez. It's a man who goes under the name of El Condor. His real name is Carlos Palmira. He comes from Colombia and is into drugs, arms dealing, all of that. And he now makes his home in Switzerland, which is at the headquarters of his operation.
Well, that sounds like we have two manifestations of the kind of evil Charles Dickens warned us about. The brutish lout in the army captain who did the killing, and now the incarnate evil behind him, El Condor.
Exactly.
Why El Condor?
Well, it means eagle, and Palmira fancies himself as a swooping bird of prey.
Well, Palmira might think that, but I regard the eagle as a noble bird.
Yes, and as we'll see, Palmira is a very poor fit for that designation.
Well, let's get into the action.
Okay. Mark Venture leaves Esther in Israel, and he returns to Los Angeles, where we meet up with him with Bill Bates, and they're beginning to plan the memorial service for Luis Valdez. Luis was buried in his home village outside San Diego. And you'll remember that he was a Catholic priest, and so now the church wishes to honor him and takes a real interest. In fact, the interest is at the level as high as His Holiness the Pope. And so Mark soon finds himself in the Vatican meeting with the Pope's emissary, a Cardinal Claudio Vacciano.
Mark follows the stooped and wheezing frame of an ancient Dominican monk through the chilled marble corridors of a Vatican palace. All around, the sumptuous wealth from centuries of endowment overwhelms the senses. Statues in bronze and stone of saints, popes, warriors, and poets. Huge paintings crowded with figures in patches of dark and light, playing out the themes of Botticelli and Fra Angelico. Tapestries, wall hanging, ornately carved ceilings and pillars. Opulence, wealth, mystery, and faith crowding in, collected and created by man, symbols of what one of the world's great religion attempts to say about human aspirations for the eternal. Mark is impressed and troubled, uplifted and uneasy, searching in the reality of such magnificence for hope to avert the bullets that pour the lifeblood of a great man onto the floor of a mission in South America, or a bomb that tears a gaping hole in a Jerusalem apartment and with it wrenches the life from a 15-year-old boy. He next comes into the presence of Cardinal Vacciano, and they sit together and talk.
I am touched and humbled by all that you have said, Mr. Venture. We shall indeed participate fully in a fitting memorial service for Father Luis. I plan to attend personally to represent the Holy Father. We shall hold it, as we have discussed, in a small country parish within easy access from the United Nations in New York, but still open to the natural beauty of the earth that held such great importance for Father Luis. The date and details we will confirm in a few days. Go with God, Mr. Venture, and the blessing of our Lord Jesus be with you and amongst all those with whom you work.
This United Nations connection is important, isn't it?
Yes, it becomes a dominant theme from here on. Mark uses his connections through Mohammed Hussein to arrange a meeting with Peter Hemphill, who is the Under Secretary General for Political Affairs.
Yes, I remember him. He and Mark met for lunch at this incredible restaurant in New York called Woodlands. Well, they come out of the snarl of New York traffic, and they come into this restaurant that is a sparkling vista of green shrubs and flower gardens and small trees and hanging ferns. It has miniature waterfalls and a tiny pond with lily pads and goldfish. It's very, very unusual, natural, and refreshing. Well, during the course of the meeting, Peter Hemphill becomes increasingly interested in the idea of the Visioneers as a new force in international political affairs, as a marked contrast to the plodding political maneuvering of the UN. And into this milieu sweeps a new breath of fresh air, the mysterious band of Visioneers, catapulted out of nowhere onto a world stage of international intrigue and high-minded expectations. So the Visioneers are there now. They're bypassing governments and going straight to the minds of the people. Well, Peter Hemphill has no idea where this might lead, but the sheer audacity, the boldness of the enterprise, and the compelling persuasiveness of his self-styled leader now across the table from him induces him to take a chance. The conversation continues with Mark sowing the seeds for a major interaction between the United Nations and the Visioneers in the near future.
So far, our approach has been to go directly to the people on every continent to get large numbers recruited and active as Visioneers. We have an intense amount of work to do there. I'm giving us 150 days from the date of the Luis Valdez Memorial Service to get that well launched. Then we'll be ready to go after the political leaders. I'd like your help in doing that. It's good to see you keeping the issues simple, smiles Peter. You know, of course, that the UN has a conference of world leaders scheduled for just about that time in New York. I don't suppose there's any coincidence in your timing, is there? I see you're quick to grasp my drift. Yes, we do intend to target that conference directly. That's where I think you'll be able to help. Anything particular in mind? Yes, but it's too soon to say. One thing you can be sure about, though, it'll be spectacular. No doubt. Are you ready for that? Why not? Though I hope you'll do me the courtesy of defining spectacular before we reach a deal. Absolutely. Now, do you know what I think? I hardly dare ask. I think we should eat our lunch.
And now we come to this incredible scene of the memorial service. From the moment I first heard you read this, the scene of thousands of people arriving as if out of nowhere was enormously powerful.
Yes. As we heard before, the ceremony is being held in the Catholic parish of St. Paul's, which is in the country about an hour's drive from New York. Why don't you describe the scene as the people come in?
Well, the people start to arrive. They're not invited guests or officials, but ordinary folk driving in by car and camper van. All manner of recreation vehicles, from huge motorhomes to cut-down Volkswagens, with license plates from practically every state in the U.S. and all the 10 provinces of Canada. They come in a steady stream, turning off the freeway, hesitantly looking for directions along the side roads, then finding the church ground, confidently coming up the driveway, filling in the parking lot, and then back along the edge of the road, while parking officials look for a solution and hastily arrange for an adjoining field to be used, which soon begins to fill in with hundreds of cars coming in. Then the buses start to arrive. Charter tour buses, the names of their cities of origin in the front window beside the driver. New York, Boston, Chicago, Philadelphia, Washington, Cincinnati, Buffalo, Toronto, Montreal, and dozens of others. And school buses, too. First, a few sprinkled conspicuously like bright yellow squat beetles among the other vehicles, but by noontime, beginning to come in convoys, disgorging hundreds of children of all ages with teachers and parents, scurrying to find places on the lawn for the ceremony, carrying their lunch boxes, many wearing black armbands, some in uniforms of scouts and guides and church groups and private schools. It seems that each group of children has a banner, all shapes and sizes, all colors, blowing gently in the breeze. Each banner has its own design, but on all, emblazoned in bold letters of gold or blue or bright red or emerald green, the word Visioneers, or a huge V. All these banners are dancing and bobbing around above the heads of the children who brought them, mixing in with other people, nothing organized, but nothing disorderly, everyone quietly expectant and respectfully subdued in greetings and conversations, finding places to sit and wait for the start of the ceremony.
Now, Pamela Barrett from ZNN is there describing the scene for the television networks. And at this time, we get the dignitaries beginning to arrive, but the ones that everyone is waiting for are the visioneers. Now, here's Pamela describing their arrival.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, something is beginning to happen out here. It's another police escort. Yes, and I can see the buses, three of them, big coaches, Land Cruisers. And would you believe they've got Visioneers in big block letters on the front of each? People are standing up and moving forward to get a better view. It's the first sign of any pressing, but everything's still quite orderly, almost like a movie in slow motion. Particularly with those children out there. You have the sense they'd all like to break out cheering and rush forward, but they won't because it's a solemn occasion. But what energy and interest there is. The air is electric with it. Now here's the first bus coming right up to the steps of the church, the others pulling in behind. I can't really make out any of the passengers. The coach windows are tinted, so we'll just have to wait. There's the door opening on the first bus. No one is coming out yet. Yes, yes, here we go. Let me see. Yes, it's Mark Venture. I'd recognize him in an instant. Tall, handsome, suntanned. He's wearing a formal dark business suit, looking out to the crowd, nodding to them. He seems to be saying, "Thank you for coming." He's looking every inch a leader. Now there's Esther right behind him. She's wearing a simple black dress under her coat and a tiny black hat with a wisp of a veil in the front. She's joining Mark by the steps just a few feet from me here. What a stunning couple, even on this sad occasion. The crowd is pushing forward a little now. They really want to see Esther and Mark. But now all the buses have pulled up and the passengers are getting out. Will you look at those people? I have the names here, but I'm sure I don't know who anyone is. Well, wait a minute. That has to be Mutsando, president of Yarari. Tall, black, impressive, in long white robes. And it looks like he has his whole African contingent with him. They keep on coming out of the bus in beautiful clothes and colors of the rainbow. Now, will you look here, coming out of the third bus? Have you got that on your screen? Who is that man? So striking. Tall saffron robe. He glows. He's positively glowing. And there's an Indian lady with him in beautiful blue and gold sari. It's extraordinary. These people are just glowing with energy. And I'm sure the crowd can sense it too. Everyone's just staring, spellbound. And the man in the saffron robe is smiling at them. Now Mark and Esther are going over to join him and the Indian woman, and the four of them are moving out among the people, greeting them. Oh, what a nice touch. The people are really appreciating this. And there goes Mutsando and his group. They're just going over to mingle. Oh, the people are loving this. The whole atmosphere is just charged since these people have arrived.
And so it continues until the last visioneer steps out of the bus. Now here's Pamela Barrett again.
Oh, in the excitement of this, I'd forgotten. Look at this man coming out alone wearing his buckskin jacket. It's George Cardinal. The last time the world saw him, he was holding Luis Valdez dying in his arms. What a magnificent stamp of a man. He looks so strong and so sad. Luis Valdez was his great friend and hero. I think this day must be for George, too. Mark is showing him great respect. There they go up the steps now into the church, George Cardinal leading the way. Mark and Esther following, and all of the others, all the visioneers. What an incredible group of people. Somehow, I don't know, I have this strange feeling, as if I'm not sure what, but as if something has changed in the world as these people walk by me, almost close enough to touch, going to pay honor to the memory of their friend. I have this feeling that somehow the world is listening, in a way that it's never listened before, and that if someone today speaks the right words, they'll be heard, and the world will have turned a corner. I'm sorry I can't continue now. Let's go in silence with the visioneers into the church.
As she stands there, quietly on her platform, head slightly bowed, watching the figures below her file past, Pamela feels a warm wave of peace pass over her. She turns and looks down into the smiling eyes of Baba Satyananda. He raises his hand to her in the gentlest of motions, and she knows at once that he has slipped into her mind and seems to linger there as he passes by and steps slowly with the others up into the church.
Inside the church, the ceremony gets underway. Cardinal Vacciano is presiding. He compares the sacrifice of Luis Valdez to that of St. Stephen.
Stephen was the first martyr of the Christian Church. Our brother Luis is among its latest. We would wish with all our hearts that he might be the last. Yet we know that time has not yet come. Nevertheless, his brave act puts such a time so much closer within reach. If those of us who heard and saw it move now also to act against the evil in the world and say, enough, no more. Such acts are an abomination in the eyes of God and of his people, and we will have them no longer on this earth. If we do this, then our brother Luis will not have laid down his life in vain. There is no simple message in the life and death of Father Luis Valdez, for it is not a simple world that struck him down. He stood for the core principles of love and faith and a sense of awful wonder in the supreme beauty of God's creation, which we have no right to destroy, whether it be the land or the air, or the precious human life breathing in the body of each one of us on this planet. For we are all part of one great creation, which is born and reborn every day and will be for eternity. The message of Father Luis' life and death was his proclamation of this awesome wonder of the universe, and our duty as its intelligent and spiritual stewards to bestir ourselves now in these days of great peril for the future. He asked us to find within ourselves visions of wonderment and power. He called us to use our God-given gifts for positive acts of creation and loving care. If we do this, we will not only honor the memory of his name and life, but we will usher in the millennium of hope and fruitful purpose which he envisioned so clearly and longed with all his heart to see come to pass. May the Spirit of God in the universe be with us all as we go forward with this great work.
The Cardinal concludes his remarks and the ceremony in the church quickly comes to an end. People file out. But Mark is not satisfied that the thousands of people outside the church have had enough opportunity to participate. He extemporaneously sets up a ceremony as the dignitaries come out. This is the most powerful part of all. George Cardinal is first to speak.
If I had the words, I would speak to you of the grief that is in my heart. But I do not have such words. My mind turns away in anguish from the memory of my dying brother. It refuses to accept the thought that such treachery can exist in this world, that would strike out like a viper and steal a man's life only for speaking good. I do not understand such things. My mind cannot comprehend them. I am a man of the earth. The rivers and forests are my brothers. The sky and the sweet fresh air that blows from it, full of the scent of the rain shower, these are my companions. Luis Valdez was my brother also. Sitting on days like this in the sunshine with the great towering snow caps of the Andes above us, we would speak softly and listen to the wind moving gently across the grass and into the trees. And my brother Luis would speak to me of his God and of the life and work of his Lord Jesus. And I would speak to him of my God, whose breath is in the wind of the forest and whose kiss is in the touch of the morning mist on the face. And we would know that his God and my God were the same. And as we sat there in the sunshine, we would know that our God was connected to us in the land, and that we were connected to him and to all people everywhere, for everything is connected to everything else. And we could not understand why, just a few kilometers away, men who were connected to God were destroying the forests, which were also connected to God and to the men. We could not understand why the men would be destroying themselves. We thought it must be because a terrible sickness had come upon the men, which had stolen away their minds. And we wondered how all over the world people could be doing such things. We could hear the earth crying out in pain. And Luis God said to him, "You must speak out against such wickedness, and touch the minds of men and women who have not yet fallen under the curse of such sickness." And my God, speaking through the mountains and the eagles that soar among them, said, "Yes, you must speak out against this, because my God was also his God. He is also your God, and we must all speak out against such evil." But then the evil came striking back savagely against us out of the barrel of a gun and took away the life of my brother Luis, even while he was speaking out to save the earth. And I did not understand that such a thing could happen. And I did not protect my brother from it. And now he is gone. But I am still here. And I've been asking myself, what do I do now? And the answer was not coming until today. Until I saw all of you here and knew that you would not be here if the evil was in your hearts. And if so many of you are gathered here in this one place, how many more of our brothers and sisters out there in the world, seeing us and listening to our words and joining in our sorrow, how many more out there will be ready to gather like you and take strength from each other to act against the great evil that has settled over our world? Well, I don't know how many, my friends, but I think it must be like the leaves of the forests or the grains of sands on the beach. I think it must be a very great number. And I think they must be learning from each other, and together they will build visions of what the world can be like again in the future, and from their visions they will act to make the world be like that. And the few, the very, very few truly evil ones amongst so many others, those few will not be allowed to triumph, because many who might otherwise have followed such evil will turn away, because they will have seen in their minds that no good for themselves or their children can come from following such evil to move on our earth and to destroy its precious life and the lives of the people and the animals on the earth. Oh, this is my vision. It's full of hope. It's strange that in the time of my great sorrow, I can also be full of hope. But I am a simple man. I love the earth. And I love you, my brothers and sisters. I do not think that you will allow the earth to die. It is my vision. It was my brother Louis' vision also. We offer it to you to be your vision too.
While the full power of these words are ringing in people's minds, Teresa steps forward and leads everyone singing the new words to Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that calls to us to hear. We once were lost, but now we're found. The time to come is near. Amazing grace, our hearts inspire. Show us the way to see. Our dreams, our hopes, our great desire. To grow, to live, to be. Then, Baba Satchananda, the mysterious man from the East, stands in the front of the crowd and speaks.
I am here today because at this moment the world is taking a very big step towards a time which His Eminence the Cardinal spoke of in his address. The time when men like Louis Valdez and Stephen, the disciple of Jesus, will not be stoned to death or shot down for speaking the truth. For that, my children, will be the time of truth. The time of universal truth, truth formed from the flowing together of all the truth that is in the minds of all people from every land. Separate truths flowing together, like all the rivers of the earth, forming a mighty lake of universal truth from which we can all drink and be refreshed.
Teresa comes forward. And again, the song of Amazing Grace rings out. Amazing Grace, our hearts inspire. Show us the way to see. Our dreams, our hopes, our great desire. To grow, to live, to be. Mark Venture comes forward with Esther, hand in hand standing at the front with George and Baba and Teresa, while all the other visioneers cluster close behind, their faces wreathed in smiles, glowing with the spirit of this great moment.
Friends of Luis, friends of the earth, friends of the future, thank you for being here. Go now with peace and love. Go from here knowing that the time of which Baba has spoken is not far away. Go knowing that the vision George has described can be achieved. Go out into the world from here knowing that this can be done. Under no circumstances should you go from here thinking that it can't be done, because it can. If we dare to imagine that it can be done, then it will be done, because you will make it happen. Of course it will take tremendous effort. Of course it will require sacrifice. Of course it will involve risks and danger, and at times you'll be afraid, dreadfully afraid. But none of that will change the fact that it can be done, because if it is in your minds to do it, it can be done. Now it's time, my friends, to go. To go out and create a better future for the world, And as you go, we will give you a song, the song of the Visioneers, in memory of Louis Valdez. We have grieved his death, and now we celebrate his life. Teresa will lead us, the song of the Visioneers.
With that, Teresa comes to the microphone again. Her voice is quivering with the emotion of Mark's charge to the crowd. She sings the words, and the children in the audience, already knowing them, join her. Then their parents, and everyone is singing, full voice with energy and passion, singing as they go. Teresa leading them, singing the words over and over again. The song of the Visioneers.
We are the ones going to the fore. Big ones, little ones, all of us here. Small world, big world, reaching out to all. Up, up, and upmost, the mighty Visioneers.
With Teresa leading at the microphone and the crowd joining in 10,000 strong at the tops of their voices, the Visioneers come down from the steps, led by Mark and Esther, and move through the crowd, shaking hands, laughing, smiling, crying, waving, moving to their buses. Finally, Teresa too follows, and the buses begin to move away, the crowd parting and waving, most of them still singing. Then the crowd begins to move also, a great mass of people slowly leaving, reluctantly turning away from the magic of the moment, snatches of song still ringing out long after the buses of the Visioneers have disappeared from sight down the driveway. On the television platform, Pamela Barrett turns to face the camera to close the telecast.
Again, we've seen these Visioneers releasing a flood of incredible energy. If it touches each of you watching with only a fraction of the force all of us here have felt, then I have no doubt that the world is indeed setting a course for a new and better future. I don't know what more to say. I'm completely lost for words. They've all been said. This is Pamela Barrett for ZNN, signing off from St. Paul's Church and the memorial service for Louis Valdez, Visioneer.